Well, Dean Parkin was a facilitator for 12 of the regional dialogues and the Uluru Constitutional Convention. He's from the Quandamooka people of Minjeribah. He's an investment analyst with Tanara Capital and an advocate for the Uluru Statement from the Heart. I asked him about Mr. Wyatt's speech.
I think it was encouraging to hear the minister speak with confidence and positivity about holding a referendum to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the Constitution for the next 3 years. So that was a very positive, affirmative statement that the minister made. Obviously, there's a lot of work to go in determining what that actual process will look like and what that form will look like. But I think the commitment to constitutional recognition, constitutional reform is a very welcome one.
And are you confident of this government's commitment more broadly, given that in earlier times this is a government that rejected the Uluru Statement from the Heart?
I think this is a question that's still outstanding and wasn't made entirely clear in the minister's address today. Certainly there was commitment to constitutional recognition within the next term of government. It wasn't entirely clear, though, whether that constitutional recognition was in the form as envisaged through the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which very clearly and explicitly called for a constitutionally enshrined First Nations voice. Given the minister's address today, it did not feel entirely clear that constitutional recognition would in fact reflect the primary reform out of the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which was that voice. It felt like, yes, constitutional recognition was on the agenda, wasn't entirely clear whether that would result in a voice to Parliament.
But isn't it the case that, you know, given the Uluru Statement, given the extensive consultation process you were deeply involved with, that the government would struggle to say, look, we're chucking that out, we're going to start all over again?
I think that would be a very difficult position to take. There was a very clear mandate out of the Uluru Convention, not just out of the convention, but the process that led up to that. Proportionally, it was the most significant engagement process of an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people around this question of constitutional and structural reform ever held. So it is a compelling mandate that comes through the Uluru Statement from the Heart and a very clear statement about what that constitutional reform should take. And so I think it would be quite difficult to move from that. I'm not preempting the process that will come from here. I'm hoping that the process will confirm, as did the Joint Select Committee on Constitutional Recognition, co-chaired by Senator Pat Dodson and Julian Lisa, that this was indeed a worthwhile and compelling constitutional change to pursue, the voice to Parliament, that this process undertaken by the minister and the government will come to the same conclusion.
And just on the timeline, I mean, given that what the minister needs to achieve in the first place is a question to put to the Australian people in the form of a referendum on recognition as such, should it take 3 years or should it by now be pretty easy to come up with a formula for that?
All of us would like to see movement on this as quickly as possible. I think the minister correctly identified today that there needs to be a bit of work to bring the Australian people on board. I think that is very achievable. The conversations that I have around the country about the Uluru Statement and a constitutionally enshrined First Nations voice, people, once you sit down and have the conversation with them, are very receptive to that. But there does need to be some work to spread that message and educate the Australian people further around this need. And I think there's a reality too with the minister bringing his own party along as well to make sure that there's support within and across the government for a constitutionally enshrined First Nations voice.
I mean, people like Bob Catter have said today that recognition is a lefty idea, that what Aboriginal people need is jobs and houses. Is that pragmatic view, I guess, to give it a title, is that a risk that that might derail what some might see as an indulgent idea, the referendum?
Part of the conversation that I've been having with people, and people do understand this concept quite readily, reform proposed in the Uluru Statement from the Heart of constitutionally enshrined First Nations voice is both very pragmatic, but at the same time, hugely symbolic, and not just to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but for what it promises the rest of Australia. You know, the Uluru Statement says basically, if we get this right, we will experience a fuller expression of Australia's nationhood. It's quite a visionary prospect. I think that's been part of the challenge. People haven't quite grasped the fact that this is a very visionary, a very inclusive, very aspirational, both symbolic and practical reform, because the challenges facing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people aren't going to be fixed by one or the other. You need both. We need to be able to shift both the hearts and the minds of people in and around the challenges, but also the great gift that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people can bring to this country.
And so what do you see as the biggest obstacles moving into this new phase of this process?
Rather than say the biggest obstacle, I think I'd rather talk about the biggest opportunity there is. And the great opportunity there is leadership, is historic leadership from our political class across the spectrum. The opportunity here is to lead the Australian people into a visionary and nation-building reform. I've heard a lot about people talk about, well, what if this fails and we've got to get it right? I'd like to hear more of people grasping the opportunity, grasping the vision and saying, what happens when we get this right? What kind of country are we creating when we get this right? I think that's the great opportunity, is for leadership, historic leadership, to leave a legacy, not just for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but for the nation.
And is this the minister and the government to deliver that, in your view?
I think it's within the ambit of any minister or any government to be able to provide that leadership. In a way, they're pushing on an open door. They've got Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people through the Uluru Statement from the heart, coming together, achieving a consensus that many people thought impossible. Many people thought at the outset of this process that it would not result in consensus, and yet it did, a historic consensus. And on the other side, in the opposition, you've got a Labor government and others that are prepared to back this, to get behind it. In an environment of political hostility and adversarialism, this is a singular opportunity, a nation-building opportunity for a government to get on board and take the leadership. And I'm still hopeful that that opportunity will be taken.
Dean Parkin, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thanks, Linda.
Quantamookaman Dean Parkin on the future of the Indigenous recognition debate.